like he does, you know, more of a comedy and like.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful day of Lent as we get to celebrate all the wonderful things that God has done for us. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget that immediately after worship, we're going to have our covered dish town hall. So please join us for some, not only some food, but some birthday cake and just a chance to reflect on some of the wonderful things that God is doing in ministry for our church, and also some updates on some of the things that are happening with the Denzer Trust as well. Also, don't forget that our Lenten programming continues this Wednesday. We will dive deeper into the question, what does God look like? And we've had a lot of fun so far, and I look forward to continuing. If you didn't get a chance to sign up, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex for those of you that would like to sign up for either a soup or a bread of some type or a dessert. The food has been fabulous so far. Bob Evans Fellowship Night will be Monday night at 6 p.m. If you'd like to join us for that, please come along. CEC will meet next Tuesday at 7 p.m. And also our quarter auction. Oh, excuse me. Just taking out my birthday and anniversary list, so I can be one step ahead. But our quarter auction is going to be on the 27th. We're still looking for people to donate and sign up for that. Thank you, Tammy, for spearheading that. Just a great opportunity to raise some money for the church. It's always a good time. Tammy's one heck of an auctioneer. She will keep you awake, I promise you that. And so we have a lot of good time. Please join us for that if you get the opportunity. Also, cookies are needed for the Habitat for Humanity run. The cookies need to be delivered to Tuscora Park on April 6th between 9 a.m. and noon. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex for anyone interested. Any questions, ask Linda Northrup. And then also, egg casseroles and sugar cakes are needed for Easter sunrise breakfast on April 21st. A sign-up sheet is in the narthex for this as well. So if you could support any of those, we'd really appreciate it. Does anybody else have any other announcements? Floyd?
Our sign-up sheet for Meals on the Fly is out on the table out there, and we can still use some other people to help.
Okay.
This is going to be a six-month trial to see exactly how it goes. So we're planning on, after today, we're going to have a coordinated meeting with the people who sign up. So anybody that
absolutely. All volunteers for that are greatly appreciated. Carolyn, do you have?
There's an Easter basket in the narthex for donations for our Easter egg hunt. We'll have that out next two or three times. So if you can in there, our Easter egg hunt
will be on Saturday for Easter. Cool. Thank you. Anybody else have any other announcements? All right. We're going to share our birthdays and anniversaries for March. Our anniversaries for March are Don and Shirley Greenwood and Scott and Jackie Porter. Our birthdays are Alicia Miller, Joe Bahari, Dave Jenkins, Madison Wright, Randy Weston, Jacob Cannon, Tristan Wright, Colton Corns, Nathan Baker, and Tom Baker. At this time, I ask us all to please rise as we join together to sing the birthday hymn for them.
Yeah.
one another.
Morning, Nick.
Oh, go ahead. You can get Angie. Morning, Angie.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Letitia. Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Missy. Morning, Chloe.
Morning.
Morning, Ron. Cheryl. How are you for I just want to say please remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week for this week.
Our watchword this week comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.
You may be seated.
We're going to sing Amazing Grace this morning. If you would like to join us, it's 783, and you can join us for verses 4 and 5, or if you know it, just sing along.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves us.
please stand for the call to worship. O God, you are our hiding place. Bless our ones whose sins are forgiven.
Bless our ones who have been welcomed back into the outstretched arms of God.
Please remain standing and join together in liturgy for Lent 2.
We give thanks to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even before the world was made, you had already chosen us to be yours through Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before you.
We praise you for your glorious grace, for the free gift you gave us in your dear
seated. Lord Jesus, we come before you in humble confession. Help us conform our lives to you as the model for holy and righteous living.
Forgive us for our desire for personal greatness, for our attempts to make God to ourselves, for our willingness to exalt ourselves at the expense of others, and for our resistance to serving
Forgive us for making light of your obedience and sacrifice on the cross by living an undisciplined and indifferent Christian witness. Forgive us for yielding to fear rather than relying on your strength to take the risk of discipleship.
Forgive us, dear Jesus, for the time we have not looked to you as our Lord, and for allowing the clamoring distractions of the world to become higher priorities in you. Forgive us for yielding more to pressures of this world than being transformed by your lordship over our lives.
when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, which was against us and which stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
Since we have been raised with Christ, let us set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
This Lenten journey, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, not only for the privilege of believing in you, but of suffering for you as well, so that we may also be glorified with you.
Please stand. Let the peace of Christ rule our hearts, since as members of one body we were called to peace, and let us be thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whatever we do, or whether in word or deed, let us do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
You may be seated.
Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering. As we give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts today, today is a Sunday where we think of what does God look like. And we may not know the physical descriptions, but we know the spiritual description. And that is compassionate. That is a loving God. And also today we will be giving a second mile offering to the Kent State University CCO Ministries. For those of you that aren't familiar, CCO has just restarted at Kent State this past year under the leadership and guidance of Andrew Wilsterman. Andrew's name is probably familiar to a lot of you But he's an Iraqi war veteran who went to Kent State University and now has started the Good Neighbor Project throughout New Philly, where they go mowing lawns, raking leaves, doing anything the community needs without payment. And he has started this ministry here, so we are happy to support them. Especially we celebrate all the wonderful growth that Kent State is having. We'll invite Andrew here at a future date, but they actually have dormitories that will be coming up in the next 5 years, it sounds like. So we are happy to support our neighbors in ministry and fellowship. So let us give now of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for your presence in our sinful world. Help us to remember that just like the prodigal son, there is nothing we can do that can make us unworthy of your love and care. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection on all the wonderful things that God is doing in our community. We continue to pray for Rhianne Ryan, who remains at Akron Children's Hospital and continue to pray for her strength and her recovery as she continues on the mend. I mentioned this prayer concern before. Jessica Fletcher, who has been hospitalized at Cleveland Clinic, and she is now awaiting a heart transplant. Jessica was hospitalized for about 2 or 3 weeks before. They're trying to get her heart in rhythm and trying to see if a pacemaker would help. Unfortunately, that didn't work, so she's now been hospitalized for another 4 weeks at Cleveland Clinic, and she is waiting for another heart. So we continue to keep her in prayer. For Jason Wright, Letitia's husband, who was in AFib this week and was at Mercy for a few days, we pray for him on his recovery and that his meds kind of balance and stabilize whatever issues he's been battling. We pray for Jeff Fainer, for Cheryl Caudry's brother. He had a seizure this past week and was not feeling well. We continue to pray for his strength and recovery. Those of you that know Jeff know that he is a very active member at First United Methodist Church in New Philly and does a lot of stuff in our community, so we pray for his strength and his recovery. We pray for Patricia, who is a friend of Angie Miller's, who's recovering from surgery. She is a mother of a co-worker, of Angie's, who's recovering from surgery. So our prayers are with Patricia. We pray for all those who continue to face the struggles of natural disasters, of flooding, of weather. April is a season of that, so we pray that not only does God help us through those difficulties, but that God equips all of us to respond when we have the opportunity to do so and help those in need. And I ask that you also keep in prayer that our spring rally for our youth is happening next weekend. A lot of sixth graders through age 21 are going to get together in Indiana in the Moravian Church. I will be there that weekend. It will be a wonderful spirit-led weekend. Keep Nicole Klodfelter, who is doing our programming for that weekend, in our prayers, and just keep our kids in prayer as they travel to and from Indiana. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we are taking this Lenten journey together with you as you remind us what's important in our faith and our discipleship, and your willingness to lay down your life for each and every one of us is so important, because we know all the love that you shared with this world continues to survive and thrive because you gave us the opportunity to follow in your footsteps. And we realize that today is a cold and blistery day, the last day of March. But may this day serve as a reminder of how much our world needs Easter, how much our world needs spring, and how much our world needs new life. And all of that is promised to us in your resurrection hope, and we are so grateful for that. Please be with the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. Help them all see that no matter where they are on this planet, they are children of God, and they are loved for, and they are cared for. For we know that the only prodigals are those who cannot find God, because you are calling each and every one of us back home to you. We pray specifically for Rianne, for Jessica, Jason, Jeff, Patricia, for Spring Rally, and all the natural events that are happening in our world. We know that you know our prayers before we even give them words. We are so thankful for that, because today we are going to discuss what God looks like. And once again, we may not have a physical description, but we know in our hearts who God is, and that God is a compassionate and loving God. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it is found on page 819. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not so We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed to us the measure of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel today comes from the 15th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 3 and 11 to 32, the parable of the prodigal son. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and then squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.' May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite our children to come forward for our children's tap. You're welcome to bring their toys with them. Come on up. There we go. So how's everybody doing this week? You have a good week? Getting ready for your spring sports and all that fun stuff?
I'm ready for baseball season. Is anybody else ready for baseball season? Yeah, we got a few people out there. It's a beautiful season, one of my favorite seasons. So what we're going to talk about is our question. Remember, we've been talking about questions that children ask about God. Our question this week is, what does God look like? So I want to ask all of you first, what do you think God looks like? Nick? What's that, a beard? Beard, kind of a robe, kind of old looking. Rylan, how about you? Okay, he's got sandals. He's got the long beard. Anybody else have anything they think differently? Or that, Tyler? Okay, yep, that's a good one too. God has many different forms. Paige, how about you? What do you think God looks like? Kind of similar to what Nick and Rylan and Tyler said. So what I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to build kind of a continuum line. So I want you to take your toys this week, and we're going to figure out which of these look closest to God and which of these look least like God. So we got some challenges here because we got a llama, an elephant. What do we got there, Rylan? Okay. We got a what kind of controller is that?
Xbox.
Xbox, okay. I remember when it was just Xbox back in the day. And what do you got, Tyler? Chewbacca. And what do you got, Brandon? Oh, cool. All right. So let's get ready. Who thinks theirs looks most like God? Tyler, why do you think Chewbacca looks most like God? All the hair. Okay, I could see that. Anybody else want to try to beat Chewbacca? Brandon, why does yours look most like God? His eyes. Well, let me see. Oh, lines. Okay. So it's kind of like the cloud, isn't it? The cloud that God lives on, a little blue and white in there. So let's see, Chewy. We'll figure out which one. So let's put these two at the start of the continuum. Who thinks theirs would be next? Aubrey, you got an elephant. How does an elephant remind you of God? All the hair? Guess what? What are elephants? Are elephants small or big? And how is God's love? Is it small or big? So the elephant is a good reminder of God, so let's put the elephant on the continuum. All right, who wants to go next? Paige? How's a llama like God? Yeah, sometimes llamas do have a chance to spit. Hopefully God doesn't spit on us, but look at all these beautiful colors, just like God has made the world a beautiful place by putting many different colors together. So we could put God on the, we could put the llama on the continuum. All right, who wants to go next? Rylan, what do you got? How's yours look like God? That's okay. Does anybody else, can we help Rylan? Aubrey? Tyler? God created the animals? And let me see that one, Rylan. And a fox. What do we know about foxes? What do foxes have a good sense of? Smell. And so God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-feeling. So God can sense something even before it happens, just like a fox can. Okay, cool.
It's actually a robot from a horror game.
Oh, robot fox, okay. So, from a horror game, okay. Nick, can I see your controller? Now, this is interesting. You look at a controller, and you think, what does this look like, God? What would a controller have to do with God? But you think about it, who do we put in control of our lives? Riley? God. We trust him to know exactly where we need to go. So if we need to press that A button and jump, we jump in faith. Sometimes we got to move to the right spot. So I would actually, instead of putting our controller at the end of our continuum, I would put it up top because we got to know who's in control, who's guiding us in our own life. So my last question for you is, so if you put human beings, where would they fit on the continuum? Where are they created in the image of God? Tyler? Yeah, so we'd be up top too. So here's what I want you to do. So if you had to put yourselves, so instead of ranking us from highest to lowest, I want you to get into a single file line. Doesn't matter what order, just get in a single file line. Right, me? I'm in charge. So why do you think I have you in a single file line right now? Where you fit in the communion, on the continuum. Because all humans are created equally in the eyes of God. So it doesn't matter if you're a boy, if you're a female, if you're black or white, or any different differences you could think of. No matter who you can think of, if you took a billion people, they would all fit on the same continuum. Because everybody on this planet is made in the image of God and loved by God. And I want you all to remember that no matter what. So we're going to let's have a moment of prayer, and then you all can grab your snacks and your toys. And a pirate, oof, versatile. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the love of these kids and for their willingness to see the image of God in all things, and help them to remember as they go about their weeks that everybody is made in the image of God. Everybody is created equally, and that means all of us are worthy of your love and the love of our neighbor and our friends. And help each one of these kids be good friends to all, and help each of us be a friend to everybody in need. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a treat and a toy. Unless you want me to keep your toy, I'm happy to. Yeah. Don't forget a little Chewy. Excuse me. You may remain seated as we join together to sing My Father, I Have Wondered. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire within us. May they carry into our actions as we carry out the word of God in our own life and our own places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So our question children's ask about God this week is part of our Lenten series is, what does God look like? When we start thinking about what God looks like, I think most of us start as kids with the image that many of our kids shared of that bearded God in the clouds. Actually, if you Google God, this is probably one of the top hits that came up when I was researching this week. Very similar to what our kids came up with, this old, wise God. And I grew up picturing this God as well, almost looking down upon creation as a chess player looked on his chessboard. It might even be more fitting that Nick had his controller, as that is another good analogy. But the older I got, the less comforting that image of God became, that God that was moving the chess pieces. Because life was too messy and free will was too powerful for God to be that God. So my question for all of you, brothers and sisters, is who do you see when you pray to God? What image comes to your mind? And what is fascinating is that just recently we seem to be breaking free from the idea that God can only be some bearded white guy sitting on a puffy cloud. Who remembers, who here has seen Bruce Almighty? One of my favorite movies of all time. Who here remembers the wonderful job that Morgan Freeman did playing God in Bruce Almighty? He was fantastic. Because this version of God that Morgan Freeman played was friendly, was approachable, and cared about the little things in life. And I love that this version of God wasn't too proud to get his hands dirty and teach Bruce Almighty to mop the floors. That really struck me when I saw that movie. What about the movie The Shack? Who here has seen that movie? It came out recently, a couple years ago. Okay, a little lesser hands. If you haven't had a chance to see that movie, I encourage you to, because it is a really powerful illustration. It really gets you thinking about the role that God plays in suffering and the role that God plays in our lives in general. But Octavia Spencer, that was who was picked to play God in the movie The Shack. And she too did a wonderful and fantastic job challenging viewers to see God as being more than limited to just a gender or a race. She played a strong motherly type of God, a God who could nurse your wounds at the same time she was telling you to get up off the ground and stop feeling sorry for yourself. I'm sure many of you can relate to that motherly type, the one that could take care of you and kind of give you a little slap at the same time. There are mothers who are very gifted at that. And we all need a God who can cheerlead and challenge us, can do those two things for both of us. And what is interesting is that so many people found the idea that God could have female characteristics as new and refreshing. But what they failed to realize was this idea wasn't as new as they thought it was. In our Lenten study, we talked about how the Moravians viewed the Holy Spirit as the mother of the church in the 1700s, 300 years before some of these images even appeared in the national mainstream. And for the Moravians, it wasn't about defining God as male or female, but it was about recognizing that God takes care of the church as a mother takes care of her child. God takes care of the church as a mother takes care of her child. And the Holy Spirit as mother was celebrated as often as August 13th and Jesus Christ as chief elder. It was a vital theological concept to the Moravian church that the Holy Spirit was a comforting presence in our lives. And it's important for all of us to see many different diverse images of God. For God is infinite and beyond our own understanding. When we lock God into one image, whether it's the bearded guy in the clouds, whether it's Morgan Freeman, whether it's Octavia Spencer, we fail to see the many different images that God can transform. God can come in many different shapes. And I've always wondered why the Old Testament is based on the concept of fearing God. You know, anytime God appears in the Old Testament, people kind of get down and they duck because they're scared. Moses, Abraham, and all different types of people and prophets are told to avert their eyes from God. Yet I believe God had a good reason for this. Because if God had appeared to humanity as any race, gender, or creed, those who would have looked like God would have declared, "I am made in the image of God, and you are not." That's what would have happened if they would have saw a physical God. "I am made in the image of God, and you aren't." But ironically, God hiding from the spotlight is what allows all of us to see that our own traits are made in the image of God. Not one people can take ownership of the image of God. So how will let's get down to the foundation of our question. How will a child see God then? It is through the loving compassion of their parents and their neighbors and their friends that they will get a glimpse of God. Because I have news for you. Some of the world's strongest atheists are neglected and abused children. Because they saw nothing but hatred and pain from a human father. So naturally, they had no interest in a divine father. Because a parent that denies a child love is ultimately also denying them God. A parent who denies a child love is ultimately denying them God. So that is why the prodigal son is such an important illustration for God. There is nothing we can do that is beyond God's mercy and outstretched hands. Nothing. We can also learn from the mistakes of the older brother and remember there is nothing we can do in our lives that can make us good enough to live without mercy, and forgiveness. We need those things as well. And we all need mercy, no matter how good or deserving we think we are. Because God's love is not an inheritance where God made us executives of the estate. God is the executive of his love. And he shares that compassionately, graciously, and equally with each one of us. So if we want our children to know that there is a loving God, then we have to dedicate ourselves to showing them love. That is the first and most basic step we can take. And I know I've shared this story with you all before, but it's one that touches my heart, and it's a good reminder. The Terry Hershey story of the child who gets night terrors. And there's one night he goes to bed, there's lightning outside, and you can hear all the darkness, and I'm sure many of you who have been parents, you've gotten that knock on the door at 1:30 in the morning, and this young boy goes up to his mother. He goes, "Mom, I need your help. I'm scared tonight. Can you help me?" And she says, "Son, just take a deep breath. I want you to pray. God's going to protect you. And then just go back to bed." 2:15. "Mom, I'm still scared. I need some help." "Oh, man. Okay, take a deep breath. I'm really tired, but you need to just pray again and just think about this, and God's going to protect you, and it's going to be okay." About 2:17, 2 minutes later, same knock comes on the door. And then the young boy just kind of looks at his mother, and he goes, "I've prayed, I've thought about all the things you've told me to think about, Mom, but tonight I just need to feel Jesus with skin on it. I need to feel God." And so he gets in bed, and he crawls with his mother, and he feels God. Because that's the compassionate. Sometimes we just need to be surrounded with that love and compassion. Sometimes it's not just enough to pray it away. We have to feel the love. So that gets us back down to that foundational question. What does God look like? And brothers and sisters, someday a child will probably ask you that. What does God look like? And what will you say to them? I know at first it'll be a little scary when they ask that question. We'll probably scratch our head a bit and try to stall, maybe offer them a cookie, see if we can get as much time as possible. Let's try to answer that question as we struggle to find the words. But if you are confronted with that question, I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to take that child and I want you to set them on your lap. And I want you to hug that child. I want you to kiss that child on the forehead. I want you to tell them that you love them, that will never change, and that love that you feel for them is unconditional. It won't go away. And I have a feeling that when you tell the child that, they'll have a pretty good idea of what God looks like because you'll have shown them. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for the many images of God that we see. They are diverse and unique, and they reach each one of us in different ways. When we are asked by our children and asked by the people around us, what does God look like? Help us to be the people of God that shows the love and the compassion to remind people that once again, knowing what God looks like is not about finding a physical description, but it's about finding a spiritual one, where faith, hope, and love guide us in every way. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing God's Grace Greater Than Sin. We actually sang this song at our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service. It was a great song we picked up from our Methodist brothers and sisters.
Oh, okay. That's all right. That's why grace is greater than our sin. It fits with him, so good work, Andy. I was wondering why I was so off on the refresh.
I was like, this is really weird. There's no one verse
That's all right. That's all right. That was a good first experience with that hymn.
I've done that before.
It happens. Before we share our benediction together, let us sing our grace together as we get to celebrate some food and fellowship. Even those of you that are not members, please join us for food and fellowship if you would like. A great opportunity in our town hall to discuss the wonderful things that God continues to do for us. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.